Daniel chapter 6. Go there with me in the Word of God, would you? Daniel chapter 6. Let's pick up where we left off in verse number 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Somebody say faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Well, that sounds like something they said about somebody else. I find no fault in him. You say, was Daniel perfect? No, there's no such thing except for Jesus. But he was faithful. They couldn't find an error or fault in him. Then, everybody say then. This is what happens when you live a blameless Christian life, when you have a good testimony. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Somebody say amen. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Well, well, well now. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. I love you, and I'm so glad you love me. Now do a great work in the service today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've gotten our text verse and theme out of this chapter in verse number 10, and we're calling it Keep Your Windows Open. This is unapologetic, bold, unashamed Christianity lived out in front of a culture that clashes with it. Now, let me say this to you. The culture is living unashamed when it clashes with Christianity. What troubles me is that too many Christians are living ashamed when they clash with culture. I'm saying keep your windows open. Don't apologize for being a Christian. Don't apologize for doing right. Don't be embarrassed about living for God. Listen to me. If they don't apologize for immorality, you shouldn't apologize for morality. If they don't apologize for immodesty, you shouldn't apologize for modesty. Come on. If they don't apologize for being dirty, you shouldn't apologize for being clean. If they don't apologize for fornication, you shouldn't apologize for purity. If they don't apologize for idolatry, you shouldn't apologize for worshiping the one true God. If they don't apologize for pornography and books that parade sin, you shouldn't apologize for carrying your Bible. Keep your windows open. That's what we're saying. We're not telling you to go jump up on the soapbox and go bomb some clinic. And we're not telling you to act a fool. And we're not telling you to disrupt in an unruly manner. We're just simply saying, when you do right, when you obey God, when you live out the Bible, when you decide to march according to Christian principles, when you decide to walk in the Spirit, when you decide to let your light so shine, when you decide to live according to the principles of God's Word, when you decide to stand on the truth, when you decide to raise your children right, when you decide to wait on God's choice for a mate, when you decide to build your marriage on a firm foundation, when you decide that God is God and beside Him there is no other, when you decide that the songs of Zion should be sung, when you decide you ought to make a joyful noise, when you decide you got a talent that you ought to use for the Lord, when you decide that God is right and you should obey Him, I'm saying do it where somebody can see you. And let me remind you, you ain't gonna never have anything to keep your windows open about if you weren't first doing it when they were closed. Preach, Pastor. So don't open your windows because they can open. Open your windows because you've been doing right. Amen. And by the way, the passage didn't even say open your windows. It said keep them open. So the essence of Daniel's life was not that he opened his windows. The essence of Daniel's life is that he didn't shut him because he was scared. And let me tell you something. The problem with Christians is we want to hide our Christianity when we're threatened to do right. Let me tell you something. When people threaten you because you're doing right, you stand for God. He'll protect you. So we saw his elevated position. All of a sudden, Daniel gets put up in an authorized system because of his access superiority, his accountable service. Here is Darius the king. He's ruling with 120 princes. He's got three presidents that are going to rule over all of them. Daniel is the one that's ruling over all of them. He's the top president, and the king likes him so much, he wants to put him in charge of everything. Why? He's got an admirable status and an amazing spirit. Last week we spent time talking about it. I hope you spent time thinking about it and tried your best to live it out this past week. He had an excellent spirit within him. Here's what I like about Daniel. He didn't just have an excellent spirit at Judah when he was home. He didn't have an excellent spirit just when he was with his family. He didn't just have an excellent spirit when he was among familiarity. He didn't just have an excellent spirit when he was back there with everything that he liked. He had an excellent spirit when he was snatched away from home, delivered into a pagan land, under attack, under scrutiny, in a place where most people didn't live for God. He still had an excellent spirit. Listen to me. You can't control what people do to you. And I'm not even telling you got to like it. But you are never excused. You never get a pass as a Christian for being in a bad situation and having a bad attitude. Keep your windows open when you're in an elevated position. Now today I want you to write down this. Keep your windows open because it's going to involve an envious plot. Proverbs says, who can stand before envy? I want you to notice the intense animus in these enemies of Daniel. The presidents and princes sought to find occasion against them. Why in the world did they seek to find occasion? Why in the world? I tell you why. They didn't like the fact he was elevated. Now look at this moment. Look at this moment. Because if you serve God long enough, you better get used to getting blessed. Well, all right. You ain't never been blessed before? How you think you woke up this morning? Started on your way. How you think you got a roof over your head? Well, I got a good roofer. Let me tell you something. Who made the roofer? How you think you have health? Well, it's not as good as I'd like it to be. You're still alive. In him we live, we breathe, we have our being. Hey, the doxology says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. I love that verse in Proverbs that said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow to it. You know what that means? God blesses you and you don't have to be embarrassed about it. You don't have to go, well, I feel so bad that God blessed me. I don't want to tell nobody that God blessed me. Let me tell you something. You ought not be ashamed that God blesses you. And everybody that you tell that you got blessed, guess what? They've been blessed too. David said, the Lord daily loadeth me with benefits. If you hang around the Lord for any length of time, you are going to be blessed. But here's the thing you got to understand. People don't want you to be blessed. I was talking to someone yesterday in the process of starting a business. And the individual was talking about some of the ones that had encouraged her the most to start the business are the ones that are hating the most that the business is succeeding. Have you ever wondered how people can change clothes so fast from cheerleader to opponent? Isn't it amazing? You looked a few moments ago, they were on the sideline saying, when the coach gonna put you in the game? When the coach gonna put you in the game? When the coach gonna put you in the game? Then the coach put you in the game. Next thing you know, they done changed uniforms and they're on the other end trying to knock you down. And sometimes they're the people closest to you. Preach, pastor. See, I hate to bust your bubble. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But there are people around you that used to say they're rooting for you, that have said they're in your corner, that said you ought to start that bit. I can't wait till you find that right one for you. Listen to me, single ladies. There's some of your girlfriends that are going to help you hook up with somebody. And as soon as you hook up with somebody and that somebody gets down on his knee and says, "Will you marry me?" They're going to be mad that you got too hooked up with somebody before they did. Oh, y'all make such a good, cute couple, and now you're getting married, and all of a sudden you're getting a vibe. Women know how to sense vibes. Men don't know nothing about vibes. Men, you got a problem with me, just tell me. Women can sense a vibe underneath a mask in the middle of a pandemic. I can tell she said something about, she got a mask on, I could tell her eyebrows told me what her mouth was doing. Underneath that mask, she was talking about, she looked at my dress and I could tell when she looked at it that she didn't like the dress she had on. You find out later it wasn't, it had nothing to do with the dress, that she got the flu. You know what I'm saying? She had indigestion. You just happened to catch her stomach growling while she was looking at you. Get ready for haters. Now listen to me. Living for the devil as a Christian will bring you problems. Living for the Lord as a Christian will bring you persecution. Don't just say amen without listening. Because I meet a lot of Christians that say, pray for me, I'm under persecution. No, you're not. You ain't under persecution unless you're doing right. Now, if you got problems, it might be because you're acting like the devil. You're not, we're going through so much persecution. No, that's chastisement. That's the devil. That's the devil chasing you and the Lord taking you to the woodshed. Amen. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If you're not chastened, then Hebrews says, then are you illegitimate? That's what the Bible talks about. That's what that word bastards mean in Hebrews chapter 12. It's not what people use to call somebody a word that they shouldn't call them. It's what the Bible means by illegitimate children. Listen to me. Here's what God said. You better thank God that he spanks you when he does, because it's a reminder that you're his. Intense animus. Now there's an intentional attempt. Let's find something with him. Let's find some fault in him. Let's find some reason that we can get him destroyed. But notice what the Bible says. But he was faithful. Listen, his established principles. What do you mean, Pastor? The Bible says they sought to find occasion, but they could find none occasion or fault. Now look at the scripture. It says find occasion concerning the kingdom. Here's what they're saying. We're trying to find somewhere in Daniel's life where he's doing his job wrong. Some occasion concerning the kingdom. Let's find somewhere where President Daniel, serving underneath King Darius, top dog, head honcho, is not doing his job properly. If they were living today, they'd probably be standing at the front of the business every day trying to find out one day when Daniel showed up late. Trying to find one day when Daniel left early. Perhaps they'd be sitting at Daniel's desk watching what time he came back from lunch so they could say, "Oh yeah, your little Christian man says he walks with God, but he takes extra long lunch breaks. He comes to work late. He leaves work early." Maybe they try to find out during Daniel's lunch break, after his lunch break was over, he kept reading his Bible instead of doing his job. Maybe they tried to find Daniel in the middle of drama. Maybe insubordination. A lack of submission to authority. Maybe they try to find Daniel mistreating his fellow co-workers or cheating or doing things or caught up in the middle of a gossip session. Maybe they couldn't catch Daniel in a dirty joke telling, but maybe they try to catch him laughing. To anybody listening to me, somebody that's heard you name the name of Jesus is trying to catch you in the act of doing your job wrong. This is the intentional attempt. This is what they're doing with Daniel. They're They're trying to find a way. I want you to notice, though, his faithful walk, his faultless ways, and their futile work. I'm talking about established principles about Daniel. His faithful walk, his faultless ways, and his futile work. See, the envious plot of the enemy must be met by established principles of God's child. You've got to have principles that are established. If you want a definition for principle, it's an unchanging truth based on the character of God. Let me say that again. An unchanging truth based on the character of God. And by the way, it's unchanging because it's based on God and he doesn't change. Christian, you've got to get principles that you live by that will supersede your passions. See, the winds of passion will change and they'll shift all the time. And we're living in a crazy world. Y'all been watching the news lately? I mean, it's crazy. I tell you why it's crazy, because it's run by crazy people. You say, Pastor, you're being a little unkind. I'm crazy too. Listen to me. We're all crazy. The only one to stabilize our minds is Almighty God. The only way to balance our minds, the only one person to censure this flesh is Almighty God. And we're living in a world led by people who are not yielded to Almighty God. And they're making decisions and they only care about themselves. And they don't care about the welfare of other people. And they don't care about the rule of law. And they don't care about what's right. And they don't care about what's godly. And they don't care about what's pure. And they don't care about what's holy. And these are the people that are ruling today. And you and I are living in a society that's governed by that. The problem is most Christians don't have established principles. Let me tell you something. You've got to have more than they put it out. They invented it. It's in style before you make a decision. You got to have more than they're listening to it. Somebody produces it. Everybody's bopping to it before it becomes your music. You got to have more than it's the lingo of the day. It doesn't seem that big of a problem. I mean, everybody uses it before it comes out of your mouth. You got to have some Philippians chapter 4, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely, pure, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. You better have that principle before you let it go in your mind, because according to Proverbs 23, verse 7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can't let the world tell you how to talk, because Ephesians 4 said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You better have more than, well, that's what my personality is, so you better understand I got a bad temper in my family, so don't mess with me. Well, guess what? The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. You understand? You got to have more than, you said it to me, so I'm saying it back to you, when Proverbs 15, 1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Well, you got to have more than, well, great, the great models are wearing it and everybody else, when the Bible says, adorn yourself in modest apparel. Listen to me. I'm simply saying, Hollywood can't tell you how to dress. The White House can't tell you how to live. The news can't tell you what to do. The actors can't tell you how you should carry yourself. Listen to me. The rappers can't tell you how you should comport yourself. You've got a God in heaven. You've got to live off of something that doesn't change with styles, that doesn't move with trends, that doesn't shift with paradigms, that doesn't get amended with legislation. You've got to get something that you'll do, even if the Supreme Court says you don't have to do it. You've got to have something that you'll live by, even if the world says you shouldn't. You've got to have some things you will not do. I get Christians say all the time, oh my goodness, they got a new law that says you can do it. And I hope that the world legislates and makes abortion illegal for everybody. It may never happen. But guess what? Just because it's legal doesn't mean you should do it. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. It's not a political matter. It's a principle matter. And so I'll tell you why Daniel lasted with his windows open. He had established principles. And when his principles were established, when they came along and tried to get him to fall, he had a faithful walk. He had faultless ways and they had a futile work. Here's what I want you to get, and then I'm going to quit. These men could find no error or fault in him. Look at verse 5. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him
concerning the law of his God. Here's what I want you to get. Daniel lived so righteously as a Christian to the point that the only way they could catch him up was to make Christianity illegal. Now listen to me. I don't want you to miss this. He walked so straight according to every law that they had to make up a law that made walking straight unlawful. No, let me go one more time. He walked so straight concerning every law that they had to make up a law making God's law unlawful. Now, I want to ask you a question. Before you claim to be Job, claim to be Daniel, or claim to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you can't be them unless you're first walking right according to the laws that have been established. See, ain't nobody going to make your Christianity unlawful if you're already breaking the regular laws. Nobody has to try hard to make you trip when you're tripping already on your own. See, you're not worthy of a setup failure when you've already proven you're good at failing without a setup. See, nobody's going to try to trap you in something wrong when you're doing a fine job of doing wrong without somebody help me preach. See, if you're cussing and lying and cheating and stealing and gossiping, eventually I need to preach a whole message on gossip. I'm not going to tell you because you'll know when not to show up. Hey, can I tell you? There's some Christians in this building who would have an enormous amount of more time on your hand if you simply cut out gossip. And for some of you, that means you might have to delete your social media. There he goes again. You keep making me go. But God help us when we're Christian people fighting the same enemy and trying to be enemies with each other. Quit running people down. Quit looking for something juicy to talk about. And thank God that your life is not on display, because I guarantee you, you got some juice with you too. But thank God that we're not Christians that are perfect people. We're Christians that serve a perfect God. The world is watching you, and when you constantly violate the laws that are before you, you never motivate them to make a law against you. I'm looking for some Christian in the building that's living so right, so holy, so godly, so different, so Jesus-y, that people hate you enough to try to make walking with God unlawful. They're not going to win. But ladies and gentlemen, Daniel is getting a chance to be on display. The more you are attacked for doing right, the more of an audience you have to watch you do right. Keep your windows open. Keep your windows open. Somebody's going to school tomorrow. You're going to public school. There's stuff allowed there that the Bible says should not be allowed. Somebody said to me recently that someone told them they don't want their children in a public school because all those kids are bad in the public school. Can I tell you, kids bad everywhere. You say, you're talking about my kids, Pastor? Yeah, yours and mine. It's in them. I don't ever fault children for being foolish. It's bound in their heart. We as parents just have to stand up against the foolishness. And they're under attack. And some of the worst kids I ever seen was in Christian school. Because it's easy to fly under the radar. Some of you are going to public school tomorrow. And you're going to be watched. You have to determine, I'm going to establish some principles, and I'm going to do right regardless of what anybody says. Some of you are going to Christian school tomorrow. And you'll be attacked. You have to determine, I'm going to do right because right. Some of you go, how many of you go to work and you feel like there's a bullseye on your back? Come on, raise your hand. You know what? There is. You feel like it's on your back because it's on your back. The key is don't let the bullseye get you distracted from who you're supposed to be serving. Determined by the grace of God, I'm going to do right. Envy. I've never seen so much jealousy among people today. People can't stand other people doing well. You better watch it. You better watch it. You know, they got a limit on these COVID tests, you know. Any of y'all ever tried to buy a COVID test and you couldn't find one? Remember that? And then they told you could order some and you could order a couple and get them sent to your house for free. Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. You know what you did. You know you did it because you tried to log in twice. And then they told you somebody from your address already signed up. I tried to use the church. They answered me back. That's not a residential address. I'm just trying to get some tests. You know why people get tests? They want to check whether or not they have something. See, you take a test to find out whether or not you're positive against something you don't want. Here, I'm going to distribute a test to everybody in the building. If there is any flare-up of negativity, any hint of disdain, any shadow of that comes in you when you see somebody drive up in a new car, when you hear somebody share a testimony about what God has done, when you see somebody that gets blessed and it wasn't you. If anything in you goes, then guess what? I just distributed a test and you're positive. Amen. Guess what? I got good news for you. I'm not only giving tests out today. We're also doing vaccinations. We like to vaccinate you against that. The next time you're jealous over what someone else has, you need to get a shot of gratitude over what God's done for you. Amen. Amen. And guess what? I got good news for you. This test has been vetted and GOD approved. And you can get as many boosters as you need. Amen. As many boosters. No debate. No political debate. It won't give you any side effects. You don't have to worry about whether or not it's safe or not. Gratitude works on everybody. And gratitude is good because gratitude changes your attitude. All right? And everybody in the building needs this vaccination because everybody at some point in time has been positive with the virus of envy. Father, help us. Everybody wants to be Daniel in the lion's den, but nobody wants to be Daniel doing what's right on the job, in the classroom, in the house, on the internet. Help us. There is an envious plot. But the plot of persecution never comes until we first are performing by principle. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking.